Lord, how we love your name, your character, your nature. It means everything to us to know you personally. We praise you and we thank you for this time together tonight. We know that you are here. We know that you have plans for us. And Lord, we just freshly surrender to you. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hello, my name is Bethany. And before we get started, I want to encourage you to register for the women's one-day retreat that we're having on March 24th. It's going to be a wonderful day, and I hope all of you will come. This Sunday, we'll start registering in the table in the fellowship hall. So be sure to register for that. It is my privilege tonight to share with you a life lesson that the Lord has been patiently teaching me for a very long time. He is continuing to work this into my life for his good pleasure. The lesson is on being happy in an imperfect world. Consider this list of words: happy, glad, rejoice, joy, pleased, cheerful, merry, blessed, delight. These are some of the words God uses in his Bible to communicate two important things to us. First, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, is very happy. For all eternity, they have been perfectly loving, perfectly peaceful, content, and joyous with each other. C.S. Lewis called them the Happy Trinity. Since God's happiness does not depend on us, he is eternally joyous and blessed forevermore. Unlike many false gods, our God is happy and pleased. He's never bored, frustrated, or bogged down with issues that would rob him of his joy. God the Son said to the Father, "I delight to do your will, O God." The Father said of the Son, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He also said to Jesus, "God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." Delighted, well pleased, anointed with the oil of gladness more than his companions, these words describe our God. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. The Bible even tells us that he rejoices over his people with gladness and singing. We cannot fully imagine how joyous our God is. God also tells us, as our Creator, Father, and Savior, that he wants his people to be happy as well, even while living here in this imperfect world. Even while living in our own personal imperfect world, he wants us to experience the joy of our faith. Tonight, I'm including the word happy because happy is a synonym of joy, and it's been dismissed too often as a word that is not as spiritual as joy. One commentary said that a meaning for the word blessed or blessed is supreme happiness. The dictionary says that to bless means to make happy. We are, of all people, most blessed. So shouldn't we be the happiest of all? I love the way God's word says it in Psalms 144, 15. Would you please turn there? Psalms 144, 15. Psalms 144, 15 says, "Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." When David wrote those words, his life was not perfect, But he prayed and worshiped God, and he concluded that the people whose God is the Lord would be happy people. Those of us who read the Bible know that once upon a time, a long time ago, in a land far away, there was a beautiful place where everything was perfect. The air was always clean and fragrant. In every direction, there were amazing scenes of beauty. Every tree that was desirable and pleasing to look at and good to eat grew there. The weather was always ideal. All the animals were harmless and well cared for. The people that lived there were happy. They had no problems, no danger, no misunderstandings or conflicts. They were in perfect health. Their relationship with each other was great. And best of all, they were in perfect fellowship with their Maker, the Lord of heaven and earth. This was a real place, and as you know, it was called Eden. Eden means delight, pleasure, land of happiness. I think it's interesting that the first place God created for the human race was a place of delight and pleasure, a land of happiness. Then sin entered this perfect world, and it has been imperfect ever since. Imperfection is a hard reality. We have imperfect childhoods, imperfect friendships, imperfect families, imperfect bodies, imperfect marriages, jobs, homes, schools, leaders, vacations, and so on. We are all well aware that no one has a perfect life here in this fallen world. Even when we seem to have all our ducks in a row and everything is going well, we still are aware of our own imperfections and the imperfections of our world. There's no escaping it. And we can't fully get used to it. It goes against the core of who we were meant to be. C.S. Lewis wrote, "I have found a desire within myself that no experience in this world can satisfy. The most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." End of quote. Someone has said, we were made for a garden, or as I mentioned, a land of happiness. Now, doesn't that sound right to you? Everyone desires happiness. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a God-given desire. But for now, in his infinite love and wisdom, the Lord is keeping us here in this fallen world where there's a lot of unhappiness and imperfections all around us. Life is less than ideal. In fact, life can be very, very hard. As God's people, we experience trouble on every side. We face short and long trials of many kinds. At times, we're tested beyond what we think we can endure. Often there are layers of difficulties, one right after another, and one on top of another. That's just the way it is. We don't need to deny this or pretend that the hardships of life don't exist. We are not in a land of happiness. Our sin and the sins of others have robbed this world of much of its happiness. And yet, allow me to read to you some verses from the Bible. "But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly." Psalm 68:3. "I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities." Psalm 31:7. "Rejoice always." 1 Thessalonians 5:16. "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Psalms 146:5. "But the fruit of the Spirit is joy." Galatians 5:22. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." Philippians 4:4. "Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." 1 Peter 1:8. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." John 15:11. And once again, happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Psalms 149 tells us to rejoice in our Maker, be joyful in our King, to praise his name with a dance and to sing to him. Throughout the Bible, the Lord and his people are having festivities. Of all the feasts in the Old Testament, only one was an occasion for mourning. The rest were all meant for times of joy and celebration. These happy times were God's idea. I especially love the book of Nehemiah. In chapter 8, the people were weeping because they were taking God's word very seriously. But they were told, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Even though they felt sorrow, they were told to choose to be happy in the Lord. Verse 12 says, "So all the people went on their way to eat and drink, to send portions and greatly rejoice, because they understood the words that were declared to them." And then later it says, "And there was very great gladness." Not just gladness, not just very, or not just great gladness, but very great gladness. There are some Christians who say that it isn't important to God that his people are happy, but rather that we are holy. I think I understand where they're coming from. The Lord does not want his people to selfishly try to make ourselves happy as the world strives for happiness that will not last. But I would say that true happiness and holiness go hand in hand. The Lord has set it up that way. I'm not saying that those who live their lives separated to God will have an easier life. Quite the opposite. Again, I think of the life of David, who fought a giant, who was pursued by a murderer, who experienced a lot of opposition, even from his own family. Yet he rejoiced in his God. He even danced before him, and he wrote praise songs to him. Paul and Silas sang hymns to the Lord in their prison cells. There have been Christians who sang praises to the Lord while being burned at the stake for their faith. Happy Christians are often suffering Christians. They go through many trials. I find that those who are walking close with the Lord have a joy and gladness about them that doesn't make sense to human thinking. They have a joy that is greater than their circumstances. What a powerful message this is to the world. When Christians are genuinely happy, even in difficult times, people notice, and they can be drawn to the Lord by it. Someone has said, "Distrust your religion unless it's cheerful." The Lord is teaching me that in the Christian life, there are two kinds of joys. There are the temporary joys, and there is the eternal joy. Both are gifts from the Lord. He is a generous giver of all that is good and perfect. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, James 1:17. The temporal joys, as you can imagine, are the gifts that we might have today but not tomorrow, such as a thoughtful word from a friend, the song of a bird, a beautiful sunset, a delicious meal, a good book, a fun conversation, a special relationship, a quiet moment, a beautiful song, extra energy, or relief from physical discomfort. Our homes, our belongings, our good health, even our families are temporary joys. We can enjoy the people in our lives while they're here, be thankful for our times together, treasure the meaningful experiences. But those of you who have lost loved ones know that we are not promised tomorrow. These are all temporary joys here on earth. The other joy, which is ultimate, infinite, and superior to all else, is the eternal joy, the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was born, the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The coming of our Savior was good news of great joy. He is the joy of our true desires. He alone is our eternal happiness. He never changes, and his eternal gifts never fade. They can never be taken away. They are all written in God's word for us to believe and receive and hold on to in every situation in life. Someone has said, every promise of God has happiness in it. As God's people, we are in Christ, and he has made us rich in his grace. All that the Lord is and all that he has done is the source and fulfillment of ultimate happiness. The Bible says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. Psalms 36, 7 and 8. What are some of the things that abundantly satisfy us to our core? What is it that the Lord gives us to drink from the river of his pleasures? He has given us himself, his very presence. He's always with us. His Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He's closer than our skin. He has given us his holy word. We can read and feed our souls on the very thoughts of God. Through his word, we come to know and trust him more, and we find that he satisfies us in ways that nothing else can. He has given us his love. His is a perfect, deep, and personal love. It's everlasting. His love is pure, patient, and kind. It is a jealous love. He has set his love on you. And he has called you to himself. He is the only one who loves us the way we long to be loved. He gives us forgiveness. He faithfully cleanses us from all unrighteousness. This is something no one else can do. No one else can wipe our slate clean and make us whiter than snow. May we not take his forgiveness for granted. It is a miracle, and it's something to be very happy about. The New Living Bible says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. Psalms 32, 1 and 2. As you know, there's many gifts from the Lord. Other gifts are his peace, his faithfulness, his instruction, his chastisement, his compassion and comfort, his tender mercies and grace, his provision, his promises for our future, and so, so much more. We have all of these forever in Christ. When we see him by faith, we find that he is so wonderful, so beautiful, so glorious. Our hearts and our heads are lifted up in amazement at his beauty, and we are overwhelmed by it. How can we express his greatness? He far outshines anything and everyone else. He is infinitely perfect. Sometimes I just want to shout out, perfect God, perfect God. All worship and praise to him. Some of you, I'm sure, were born with an upbeat personality, cheerful and happy. The sun is always shining, and you walk around with a smile on your face and a skip in your step, and you always see the humor in things. You're just so happy to be alive. I, on the other hand, was born with a serious personality. I appreciate my personality, and I wouldn't want another. I believe God picked it out for me. However, because of the way I'm wired, as well as the church culture that I grew up in, a few hard life experiences, and my old sinful nature, it has not been easy for me to be genuinely happy. I have found life to be difficult to navigate. It hasn't been easy for me to be lighthearted or to laugh. Things that aren't right in life have really bothered me. When I experienced or heard of other people experiencing hardships, it could greatly affect me and make me very serious. It's not that I never smiled, but sometimes my smile was upside down. From childhood, things that might have seemed like little things to me, to others, were big things to me. I remember when I had just learned to put on my shoes, I was probably 2 or 3 years old. I walked through the room and my aunt said, "Bethany, your shoes are on the wrong feet." I was devastated. I dashed out of the room, mortified that I had made such a foolish mistake. Now, why didn't I just laugh and sit down and switch my shoes? In elementary school, I remember other girls being silly and laughing a lot at a lot of things. I did not know how to do that. Not that I didn't want to, I did. Sometimes I could see what was funny, but I just couldn't laugh about it. I would smile and wish that I could laugh. Sometimes I didn't think it was funny at all, and I didn't know why they thought it was. I certainly did have happy times as a child, but I would often internalize the hard things, and they would weigh me down. I wanted life to be just right for everyone, but I was realizing that that was not reality. As I became more aware of life's imperfections, I dealt with it by being a good, quiet, and serious girl. When I was in junior high, the Lord saved me. Oh, happy day, truly. For the first time, I experienced a joy that I had never imagined before. It was totally supernatural. Jesus had made all the difference for me. He was so real and present. I was truly happy and free for the first time in my life. Now the fruit of the Spirit began growing in me, including joy. This is where this life lesson started. But the Lord and I had a long, long way to go. One summer in my high school years, I went with a few of my friends to the Santa Cruz Boardwalk. They had those curved mirrors, mirrors, that make a person look extremely short and wide or extremely tall and narrow. The boys that we were with started acting very goofy in front of those mirrors. And that is where I remember for the first time in my life having a real belly laugh. It was such a great experience. I remember wishing I wouldn't have to stop. And it put a hope for laughter inside of me. Yet, as an adult, the imperfections of myself, my marriage, and motherhood, along with the various trials of life, continued to quietly rob me of joy. I didn't know what to do about it. And then, in his very kind way, the Lord surprised me. He came and met me where I was, and he taught me new ways on how to be glad and happy. He made it simple for me and very meaningful. It was while I was in a difficult, ongoing trial in my home. I was overwhelmed with my roles as wife and mother and homemaker. Often inadequate in those roles, I experienced a lot of condemnation and shame. But one ordinary day, in the middle of a very difficult conversation, suddenly the Lord began whispering into my heart. I'll never forget where I was standing when this happened. I was hearing one thing through my ears and another thing through my heart, all at the same time. The Lord was telling me how much he loved me. He delighted in me. He was happy with me. He knew what was going on, but the important thing to him in that moment was that I would know and believe he loved me. He was so real and so personal. I have never been able to put into words just what that meant to me. He overwhelmed me with his love. On that day, I discovered that his love is my joy. My circumstances were the same, but he loved me. My inadequacies were still as obvious as ever, but he loved me. My house was a mess. I was a mess, but he loved me. And because he loved me, I was happy. To this day, I have never gotten over his love for me. I agree with Andrew Murray, who said, "The greatest happiness in my life is that I am loved by the Lord Jesus." At one point, I realized that it was important to God that I learn to show his joy on my face. He gave me the idea of practicing my smile while I drove my car. We farm out in the Hillmar Livingston area, and I often needed to drive from one field to the other. These were country roads, so there wasn't a lot of traffic. The plan was that whenever I saw a car approaching me in the other lane, I was to give them a big smile. So I did that. Some people smiled back, but most of them didn't notice. It didn't matter. I was practicing something important. I was practicing having a quick, full smile. It is amazing how powerful a smile can be. I'm always blessed whenever someone smiles at me. And I find that when I smile, it does something good inside of me as well. For years now, the Lord has taught me to smile at him when I first wake up in the morning. I sense his happiness, and then I'm happy too. Often lately, I am sore and tired in the morning, but smiling at him, or singing to him, or whispering to him, or listening to him, or doing something for him, they all make for a very happy morning. Through the process of learning this lesson, there have been times when I knew I should be happy, but I wasn't. There were just too many hard things, too many painful things, too many imperfections in my life. I didn't feel happy, so I wasn't happy. But the good thing is, we don't need to feel happy to be happy. True happiness is not a feeling, although feelings may come, and they often do. True happiness is an inner peace, a contentment and gladness that comes when we realize and remember the Lord. An inner peace, a contentment and gladness that comes when we realize and remember the Lord. This happiness is always there because he's always there. But we can often and easily miss it. When we feel unhappy about something, let's ask ourselves why. The answer will always be a temporary reason. For the Christian, every trial is going to fade away someday. It will turn into nothing, nothing. Our loving God has designed it so that whenever we lose our temporary joys, we still have our eternal joy. Because of the joy of the Lord, we can be pleasant in any situation. Maybe we don't feel good physically, or we're reminded of an ongoing conflict in the family, or the carpet in our house is old and stained and we don't have money to replace it. Maybe we do not like something someone said, or it's a more serious thing, like we're worried about what kind of world our kids or grandkids are going to grow up in, or the fact that someone dear to us has a serious disease, or we have a serious disease, or we're grieving over the separation from the death of a loved one. As serious as these are only temporary things. Not one of these things will last forever. If we stop and identify what's bothering us, we can bring it down to size. It's only temporary. It won't last. The Lord will either bring an end to it here on earth, or it will be completely gone when we get to heaven. Currently, it may still be very painful. We may need to endure and persevere for a long, long time. We must continue to trust and obey the Lord moment by moment. And we must keep on praying. Our faith grows as we pray and see God work in the temporary things. And all the while, we must remember the Lord is with us. His constant abiding presence enables us to handle the hurdles of life and experience victories. He loves us. He is so much greater than our greatest trials. And besides, our trials are actually blessings in disguise. He's using them for our good. and one day he will bring an end to them. These are happy truths for us to remember. The Lord wants us to finish our race with joy. A phrase that has been helpful to me over the years is, "For this I have Jesus." Whatever situation I'm in, for this I have Jesus. One day I sensed the Lord asking me a question. "Bethany, are you happy?" I was bothered about something, and his question surprised me. He knew what troubled me, and yet he was asking me if I was happy. It was like a father who had given his child everything she needed and more, or like a bridegroom who had sent an abundance of special gifts to his bride. How could this child, how could this bride not be happy? How could I not be happy? The Lord has given me all I need. He daily loads my life with benefits. He is there to hold me when I would otherwise fall apart. And he was far greater than that which concerned me that day. I stopped and I thought, and I realized that nothing was worthy to take his place. And I said, "Yes, Lord, because of you, I'm happy." Someone has said, "Happiness is not in things, but in thoughts." What are our thoughts throughout the day? Recently, my mind was very busy and very full of my responsibilities. I was also fatigued and depleted of any feelings of happiness. Okay, I thought, this is my opportunity to once again apply this lesson. I prayed and asked God to help me live it out. Knowing that it wasn't about feelings, I began reminding myself of the Lord and his goodness. But by this time, I had become discouraged, and nothing seemed to help. The Lord let me stay in this struggle for a couple days, and I began to wonder if I would have anything to share with you tonight. I prayed, and I hung on by faith and waited. Then in the evening, the Lord led me to read the book of Philippians. I remembered that Paul wrote that book while in prison. Paul probably didn't feel happy in the prison, but he certainly was happy, joyous, and uplifted. I couldn't help but grin at times as I read through the book, imagining Paul sitting in that stinking cell, writing with such confident faith, such steadfast contentment, such encouraging and contagious joy. It was so contagious that it rubbed off on me. As I thought about Paul and some of the things he wrote in the book, my joy was restored. I was still very tired and I had a lot of things to do, but I had returned to the joy of my salvation and I could sense that the Lord was pleased. What pleases a father more than when his child is cooperative and happy? May we appreciate what the Father has provided for us each day, both temporal and eternal. When our flesh wants to complain because we want something different than what we have, we can say, "This is what my Father has provided for me," and praise him. We don't need what our flesh wants in order to be happy. I sometimes picture a child in her father's presence, completely carefree, not a care in the world, and she's twirling and dancing around in delight, just glad to be with the one who knows her the best and loves her the most. That's how I think the Lord wants us to be with him, delighted, contented, and happy in him. A light heart is characteristic of a trusting heart. Trusting the Lord lightens our hearts and can even produce more humor in our life. Over the years, I've asked the Lord for a greater sense of humor. He is teaching me to not take myself so seriously. And he has even made me funny, sometimes even when I didn't mean to be funny. It's important for us to learn not to take ourselves so seriously, but to rather laugh at ourselves and to trust that God will take care of things. While I have never tested this life lesson to the extreme, there is someone who has. Our perfect Lord Jesus was betrayed, rejected, falsely accused, arrested, beaten, spit upon, and finally crucified on the cross, taking all our guilt and sin and shame upon himself, experiencing the most intense suffering that any human being has ever suffered, far greater than anything we will ever have to experience. That was his very imperfect world. The only thing that was perfect on that day was the Lord Jesus himself and the will of the Father. He was the only person that would never deserve what he went through. Yet he did it, not resentfully, but willingly. He obeyed the Father's will. There's a phrase in Hebrews 12:2 that often gives me reason for pause. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." The Lord Jesus had a joy as he endured the cross. How could that be? His sufferings were unspeakably great, and yet somehow he had an eternal perspective of joy that his sufferings could not steal from him. How beautiful is the life of our Savior. What a faultless example of having joy in the worst of trials. If you are like I was before I became a Christian, and you've never experienced a genuine, satisfying happiness in the Lord, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus died for you on that cross so that you could have a personal relationship with him. He wants you. He loves you. He wants you to receive all that he is, and that includes his eternal happiness. I hope you will put your trust in him and give him your life. He will never let you down. After this service, if you would like to talk to someone, just come down here. We will love to talk with you. Why is it so important for a Christian to be happy? Is it just so that we can enjoy a good life? Is it all about us? No, not at all. When a Christian is happy in Christ, it shows a heart of humility and surrender. Our eyes are on the Lord. It's saying, things don't have to go my way for me to be happy. I'm already happy. I'm trusting the Lord. It's saying, I'm grateful for all the Lord has provided for me. I'm appreciative of what I have. It's saying, God is enough for me. I'm satisfied in him and excited in my relationship with him. When we are happy and satisfied in the Lord, it frees us to reach out to others. We are more useful to him. A happy Christian is a blessing to others. People are drawn to the Lord by the happiness they see. Before I was a Christian, there were some happy people in my life, some happy Christians in my life. And I wanted so much to be like them. I wanted to be as happy as they were. It was very attractive to me. Lastly, a happy Christian worships her Lord. We realize the Lord is everything to us. Worshiping him is the response of our hearts when the Lord is our joy. These are reasons why it's so important for a Christian to be happy. So these are the things the Lord has been teaching me. Number one, realize and appreciate the temporary gifts God has given us. Notice them and give him thanks. Number two, remember that for the Christian, every trial is temporary. It won't last. The Lord is far greater than anything we face, and he will have the final say. He is the author of our story, and his stories always have a happy ending. Number three, above all else, remember that the Lord Jesus is our true happiness. Realize his presence. Let his love be our joy. Think about him. Delight in him. Discover more about him through his word and prayer. George Mueller said that he didn't stop reading his Bible each day until he felt happy in the Lord. Then he was prepared to go out and do his day's work. Number four, let your joy show your love too, but Smile quickly and freely. This world has far too many smiles. Share the joyous truths about our God with others. Let others see the joy of the Lord in us, regardless of what we are going through. In closing, it is so meaningful to me that God would take this very serious girl who didn't find it easy to laugh or smile and give her so many reasons to be happy and glad. He has given each one of you the same wonderful reasons. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus, there would be nothing to be happy about. But he is our God. He is our Lord. And we are his people. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that we can have a happiness from you that doesn't have to depend on our circumstances. We thank you, Lord, that you are so much greater than all the trials that we go through that can make us so serious or unhappy. But I love you for making a way for us to have a light heart. I love you for making a way for us to rejoice and be glad in you. You've given us every reason to rejoice. I pray, Lord, that you'll help my sisters tonight to be encouraged and strengthened in their joy. And Lord, in the days and weeks and months and years to come, Lord, that we would be joyful, happy Christians because of who you are. Thank you for loving us. Your love is our joy. Thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.